104.1 KZRR Albuquerque. Listen on your free iHeartRadio app for all your music, radio, and podcasts. New Mexico's real rock is 94 Rock. You're listening to the 94 Rock Morning Show with Swami Rob, Skyler, and Mahoney.
Oh, what's he gonna do? Want to get down?
On 94 Rock.
All right, it's 8:40 right now. Swami, Skyler, Mahoney on the hotline with us right now is Michael Simon of Barbecue Brawl. Hey, Michael, what's happening? Good morning.
Not much. Just, you know, getting ready for the premiere of the show, Barbecue USA, this Monday at 10:30. We're following Barbecue Brawl, so Monday is Barbecue Night on Food Network.
All right, cool. Looking forward to it. Now, it's odd timing because we have an annual morning show barbecue contest that we do here every year, and we just had our contest last week. We had over 50 people enter, and I got to tell you, man, every single entry was phenomenal. People are bringing it now.
Well, you know, I think it's because of shows like Barbecue Brawl and Barbecue USA. It's like, people are really getting to see a backdoor look into how some of this great barbecue is made. You know, the thing I love about Barbecue USA, we're getting ready for season two starts, and we show people, they get a behind-the-door look on some of the best pitmasters in the country, like 50 to 150 teams every week competing and what they're doing to make this incredible barbecue. So it really, I think, is bumping up everybody's home barbecue game also.
I think so, too. Now, give us an idea as to, now, obviously, you're going to be one of the, am I right in calling you a judge, or are you going to be one of the kind of
tuners? No, I'm not a judge. So I don't, every week there's usually anywhere from 50 to 60 different judges per show, depending on what region of the country we're in. I kind of host the show, but because I've been in this world for so long now, you know, I know most of the teams competing, so they kind of let me in the back door to see, like, what they go through to compete weekly, whether they travel 1,000 miles to get there, what are their seasonings, what wood are they cooking on, what's their style of smoker, the meat, the times, and then we get to see how they perform, and the sense of community that goes on in the barbecue world. So, like, we're going to be in Memphis in May, we're going to be at the Royal in Kansas City, you know, we're going to Florida. We're kind of just all over the country watching these incredible teams compete. I got the greatest job in the world because I get to walk around and eat all the barbecue.
Yep.
And then, you know, I decide which ones I like the best, but ultimately they're being judged by their local judges.
Now, here would be the problem for me, especially if I was a judge, because you mentioned you're going all over the country. Now, I have had Kansas City barbecue. I have had Carolina barbecue. I've had barbecue from several different areas. And while it's all good, it's all got its own kind of spin. It's definitely different from one another. But for my money, Texas barbecue is the best, hands down. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, I always tell people it depends on what meat I want to eat. Like, if I'm want brisket or beef ribs, Texas crushes everybody, in my opinion. No one touches them.
All right.
You know, but if I want whole hogs, you know, good luck beating anybody in Carolina. You know, Rodney's, like, you give a whole hog to someone in Texas, it's not going to be better than Rodney Scott's in Carolina. You know, and Memphis and KC, like, I don't like this, like, the sweet sauce isn't my jam in Kansas City, but I would say Memphis with the dry rope ribs in Kansas City do ribs better than everybody. So, you know, back in the day in Texas, ribs weren't really, pork ribs weren't even a thing. That's like a new thing in Texas. It was brisket and beef ribs.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned rubs. I'm of the belief, this is just me personally, I would rather not have to sauce anything. I mean, because I know the sauces are kind of, they'll kind of tell you where it's from, but I would rather not have any at all. So the rubs are...
I'm with you 100%. I think you use great meat. You season them how you choose to season them. You smoke them with, like, I like fruit woods or post-oak. Those are the kind of woods I prefer. But like they say in Texas, if you need sauce, you did it wrong.
I'm with you. So then, do you get to coach these guys? Because obviously you've been a restaurateur and you've been a pit master and all that good stuff. So I'm imagining that these guys are, who knows, maybe they don't want the coaching. They think they know what they're doing.
Sometimes they'll ask me, sometimes they'll give them opinions. But the wild thing about this is you could have a team, like, there'll be times where I'll taste someone's barbecue, and I'll be like, that's the best rib I've ever had. And then they won't even place in the top 10. Because maybe it's a style of rib. Maybe we're in Florida or Memphis. We're in Memphis, and the style that the judges are accustomed to eating there is very different than the style of the one that I had that I thought was the best. You know, so, you know, and that's the beauty of food, you know. And then, like, a week later, a team that didn't place in the top 10 ends up being, you know, winning the whole thing the following week.
Yeah.
So just never know. And that's kind of what makes the show so fun. Like, I mean, I've watched world champs come back and not place. And that happens. You know, it happens. And I mean, you like, look, if you cook barbecue, you know that one day you could make the ribs that are the best you ever made. And the next day, maybe the meat's just a little more finicky. You know, so it's not a set it and forget it type of cooking. Yeah. You know, there's a lot that could go wrong, and when you're cooking something from anywhere from 4 to 16 hours.
Yeah.
We noticed the creativity factor has been upped over the last few years, where people are trying new things, new directions, new combinations, and all that, which is great. We love it. But do they have is there a battle between tradition and new ways of doing things where people are like walking the line there?
I like that it's getting more creative. I the way that I feel is, like, once you learn the technique, you know, like a lot of people are using, you know, Texas technique. And by that, I mean, they're cooking in an offset smoker. A lot of them are using the Texas crutch or the wrap with their brisket. You know, some of those kind of things. So they're using a lot of Texas technique, and then they're flavoring it with flavors that are very regional to them,
yeah.
Which I think that's great. You know, like, personally, like, you know, I was born and raised in Cleveland. Like, why do I want to go to a Texas barbecue restaurant in Cleveland? I don't, you know, like, you're not in Texas, dude. You're not from Texas. You didn't live in Texas. Like, what? Like, this is, you know, so use the techniques that you learn from Texas, but infuse your locality or your spirit into the food. I think that's a great thing, and I don't think that's breaking tradition. I think it's just making things more hyper-regional.
Yeah. I think, being that we're here in New Mexico, our favorite flavor is pain. So the right. Hotter the better. I want some kick in that stuff,
yeah. Man,
but I know most people can't deal with that.
So,
right?
Yeah, but, like, you know, so, like, the barbecue there should be reflective of that. Like, it should be very chili-driven. It should have that spice and that heat that you crave, you know? So, like, you know, like, if that's the food that's very regional and you crave there, you don't want a sweet Kansas City sauce. It
no.
doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, it doesn't right. play there. So it's like, you know, like, I grew up in Cleveland where, you know, mustard, sauerkraut, sour pickles, you know, pork, like those were the things, like kielbasa, you know. So, like, if in a barbecue restaurant in Cleveland, why do I want Texas hot links? It should be kielbasa.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You know, that
all that stuff you mentioned from Cleveland sounds pretty damn good to me too.
Yeah, I like all that.
I kind of come to find out I'm just kind of a
really
fan of food.
It's really good. I mean, it's like, you know, like, I mean, a kielbasa with brown mustard on it. Come on, it's the greatest. It's like the greatest thing ever on a hard roll. Oh, all day.
This sounds good to me, man. All right, so the show is Barbecue Brawl. You can look for it on the Food Network. Michael, before I go, you're a restaurateur. I want to ask you a question. After COVID, it was obvious that the restaurant industry is kind of forever changed. And I find myself a little bit more picky post-COVID. But what do you think about the state of the restaurant industry right now? Because my statement will be this. It's way too goddamned expensive now. What do you say?
Well, you know, that's not the restaurant industry's fault, unfortunately. It's, uh-huh. it's the cost of the product, you know. So what's really happened, and it's difficult. It's hard, you know, like we closed a lot of restaurants during the pandemic. So, you know, pre-pandemic we had 19 and now we have 12.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's, you know, a lot happened for us. And it was fine. I mean, we're fine. We're still here. Everything's great. But the cost of product and the cost of labor has went up huge. So, you know, it's got to, like, you're looking at an industry that pre-pandemic margins were 5%. So now, you know, dishwashers are making $20 an hour, and like brisket, like I'll give you a barbecue example. When we opened Mabel's 10 years ago, brisket was $4.99 a pound for prime Angus brisket. That's what the cost of was before we trimmed it and smoked it, which you lose about 50%. So that dropped, bumped it to $10 a pound. Now it starts at $10 a pound. So then you trim it and smoke it. Now it's $20 a pound.
Yeah.
So, and then the people that are doing the dishes for $12 an hour, now they're $20 an hour. Like, I'm using Cleveland as an example. But so you can't take a business that had 7% margins and charge the same price.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and like, I let people say sometimes, like, and I don't serve it in my restaurants, but people will say, like, oh my God, I had avocado toast at a restaurant. It was $14. I can make it at $8. I can make it for myself for $6 at home. I'm like, well, did, when you get it at home, did someone make it, put it on a plate, clean the plate, serve it to you? You know, so there's all those things that go into it. And it is difficult because the consumer, ultimately it's the consumer that's getting hit. But it's because of just, you know, cost of labor and cost of goods.
Yeah.
And restaurant margins went from 7%. Like, most of my friends that own restaurants now, their margins are down to 3%. So at that point, what's even the use of owning a restaurant?
Right. Makes sense. All right, Michael. Well, looking forward to watching Barbecue Brawl. And thanks for talking with us today, dude.
All right. See you.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.